Well, it's a beautiful morning. We're here primarily to honour God, to remember our Lord Jesus, and to witness Montana's rebirth.
Good morning, everyone. Sister Montana. I was honoured when Montana asked me to just give a few thoughts. And oh, she's such a darling, isn't she? I said, what do you want me to talk about? She said, sunflowers. Just as I was about to say, look, I think there's people that can do better jobs at exhorting, much more logical, much more structured, much more analytical. Dear old Montana comes along and said, would you mind giving some thoughts? So you were already witnessing and encouraging because I've decided I'm going to continue exhorting. So not just today, but for a while. So sorry if that's bad news for some of you, but hopefully it's good news for some. So I think today is a celebration of youth, but in particular, it's a celebration of this wonderful family. And just two things. Ali is so efficient, Montana's mum. I said to her, could I possibly have some photos to show to everyone on Sunday morning? And within about 2 seconds, all these beautiful shots. So there will be some beautiful family photos. Sorry, I hope they're not too embarrassing. I'm the Hobbit. I sort of work from home and sort of spend most of my time in my room, as Jenny will tell you. Jenny's at 38,000 feet at the moment, Liberty, by the way, but she would be here. So twice a year at maximum we're going to the city, and both times in the last 12 months I've seen young Matt, and he was hilarious because he was with Anthony here and a nice friend from work, and I was introduced as our senior pastor. So good luck with that one. What is the world coming to? But it was nice to see you, Matt, and I love your sense of humour. Now, so my fellow twins here, Montana and Olivia, I'm the oldest, so is Olivia, but we always sort of say who comes first. If you're second, you don't bother saying anything, but if you're first, you always just make it clear. How many minutes? Two. Oh, well done. It's even better. Mine's five. Well, five counts with my dear sister Lynn. So it's interesting. I just want to sort of show you this next slide, because with all this debate, you know, about who's the first twin, who's the second twin, what about, you know, your birth in relation to the formation of the world? You came first. You were before the world was formed. These words from Ephesians: for he, God, chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. For in love he predestined us for adoption, to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. And wow, that's blows your mind, doesn't it? So, here we are. Yep, you're up there. They're such sweeties, aren't they? So, you are joint heirs. That 2 minutes, it doesn't matter. Because you're not only joint heirs together, but you're joint heirs with all those who are baptized in Christ. And that's such a wonderful blessing and a privilege, isn't it? And, I think you know, but we need to just repeat again just how honoured and privileged and delighted and overjoyed we are to see another lovely young lady to be baptised into the Lord Jesus Christ, the living Lord Jesus Christ. It's wonderful. And James said we had ringside seats here just to see the wonderful experience. And Matt pouring out his emotions. And if you can't get emotional at a baptism, then when can you get emotional? So good on you, Matt. You show the lads how to get in touch with their emotions and keep it up. So, you are sisters. You are twin sisters. And you are twin sisters in Christ. It doesn't get much better than that, does it? I forgot to say, by the way, that Harry is a very lucky young man, having all these, as Ruby used to call them, these, when she was young, when she couldn't say lovely, all these lully ladies to look after you, and you as well, Matt. It's really embarrassing, isn't it? But they are beautiful photos, aren't they, Montana? Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And Jenny tells me on good authority that both yourself, Montana, and Olivia delight the residents at Beth Salem on a regular basis with your wonderful praise morning. So that's lovely. And Jenny speaks very highly of you too. You do a great work there. The duo. So, I don't know if you remember the Mr. Men series. They've been going quite a while. I'll sort of link this in with a quote from Marlene Rosell. Always hold your head like a sunflower that stretches towards the light. And you'll also notice that sunshine is always attributed in a very positive way. The colour yellow is a very positive colour. It's used a lot in sport. And you'll notice also there that Mr. Happy and Little Miss Sunshine are yellow to denote a sunny disposition. I wonder, on an ecclesial basis, what are you? We'll keep it to the males, just to be safe these days in a politically correct world. But what are you? Are you Mr. Grumpy in the ecclesia? Or are you Mr. Forgetful? Ooh, might be me. Or are you Mr. Critical? Or are you Mr. Busy? Or are you Mr. Happy? Or are you Mr. Strong, always doing things in the ecclesia? And all the female equivalents. What's your role? Are you Little Miss Sunshine, like Montana? It's worth a thought, isn't it? A very well-known, certainly in days gone by, entrepreneur and businessman was Andrew Carnegie. And he was a wealthy person. Ironically, his quote is, "A sunny disposition is worth more than the fortune." I had to actually struggle to find a picture of him smiling. Not that you have to smile to be seen as being cheerful, but I finally got one. I think he's got a bit of a smile there, hasn't he? But I'll tell you what, if you've had health problems or challenges with bereavement and other aspects, financial troubles, you'll know that a sunny disposition is actually worth more than a fortune. I've said many times before that the most important things in life are free: friendship and health and love and good, strong relationships. And there are lots of people, both in Adelaide and around the world, that do a great work, great organisations. Here's just two of them. And again, the colour yellow's there, denoting either sunshine or, not sunflowers with the cancer, but daffodils, but to give joy. And kind people in great organisations are trying their best to bring sunshine into people's lives in challenging situations. And Mr. Sunshine himself, Stevie Wonder, who actually... was blind shortly after his birth, as you know. But as is so often the case with people who have challenges, they have the biggest smiles often, not always. And what a credit to resilience in the face of trouble, because by the age of 9, Stevie Wonder, in my opinion, one of the best songwriters of all time. If you don't believe me, just look up the double album, Songs in the Key of Life. It's unbelievable. But he was able to learn the piano, the harmonica, and the drums by the age of 9. So any 9-year-olds out there, how are you doing with that one? I'm a lot older than 9, and I'm not doing very well with them either. Now, Jenny's mum, if you want to know about this lady, Helen Keller, she will tell you all about her. She's an... we're going to talk a little bit about inspirational women this morning, mainly from the Bible. But Helen Keller, she had a dear friend called Polly. Very briefly, at 19 months, not only did she go deaf, but she also went blind. So I thought to myself, I wouldn't have managed it. I thought, how do you teach somebody who can't see and can't hear? How do you teach them words? Because she became a great advocate for disability. And just briefly, one example is Polly, her friend, her lifelong friend, who dedicated her life to looking after her and teaching her to communicate. For example, she would get a bowl of water and dip Helen Keller's hand in it and then spell out W-A-T-E-R. And she thirsted for knowledge. So look her up. She's an incredible lady. And of course, as is so often the case when people have challenges to their senses, well, being blind and deaf is certainly a challenge to your senses. She would know when someone came in the room because she could feel their presence. So the other senses were heightened. And so today, it's all about sunshine and sunflowers. And Ali, thank you so much for you and your team for just providing these wonderful sunflowers for us, because we are going to be talking predominantly about sunflowers. But I just want to play a short clip. It is a short clip. It's under 2 minutes. And it's just basically, it says more in 2 minutes than I could probably say in 2 hours about sunflowers. So if we can get it working, have a listen to this.
Every day, young sunflowers take part in a remarkable dance known as heliotropism. They trace the sun's movement across the sky, turning their faces from east to west. Then at nighttime, they twist their heads back towards the east in preparation for sunrise.
That part in particular, we know is controlled by something called a circadian clock. This internal biological timekeeper that we have in our bodies, but it also exists in many different organisms, including plants, and that allows the plants to essentially know what time of day it is and predict important events like sunrise.
This daily ritual is vital to plant survival. One study found that east-facing sunflowers attract about 5 times as many pollinators as west-facing ones during the early morning. That's partly because warmer sunflowers are better at producing and releasing pollen, while their increased exposure to sunlight also makes their colors or UV patterns more visible to insects like bees. Many flowers, including daisies and buttercups, are heliotropic. It's a trait that also increases photosynthesis in leaves, the process of how plants use sunlight, water, and carbon dioxide to create oxygen and nutrients.
The thing that drives plant growth is photosynthesis, and that requires light. So by having the leaves...
So these beautiful flowers not only engender happiness and joy in our lives, but they actually bend to face east. I know that's west for you. And then basically attracting pollinators. And obviously, there's a great spiritual... lesson for us, which we're going to have at the end, about turning our heads towards the sun. But just a couple of... by the way, if you didn't hear him, he talked about the circadian rhythms, which we have in us, which regulate a lot of our... in addition to things like homeostasis, in our bodies, that regulate a lot of the functions in our bodies. And I'll just read this bit to you, just the bit in the middle. The 24-hour circadian rhythm guides the sunflower's movements. But that's all very well. Without muscles, how do they move? And the answer lies in their stems. Like those of other plants, the stems of young sunflowers grow more at night, but only on their west side, which is what allows their heads to bend eastward. During the day, the stem's east side grows, and they bend west with the sun. This particular scientist, Dr. Atamian, collected samples of the opposite sides of stems from sunflowers periodically and found that different genes, all programmed by God, related to light detection and growth, and they appeared active on opposite sides of the stems. Now, that plus circadian rhythms Doesn't sound at all like chance to me, but don't get me started. But I had to just put a creation aspect in there because it's very relevant in this context. And so God is the great designer. He's the great intelligence. And there's a very big debate going on at the moment. This man, he actually looks a bit like that scientist, doesn't he? He's not. But this guy is called the Godfather, Joshua Bengio, the AI Godfather. And look what he thinks of his own life's work with artificial intelligence. And I don't want to sour a wonderful morning, but we need to keep our eyes on artificial intelligence because there's going to be great things, I'm sure, where people will be able to do operations and all sorts. But there's going to be, as usual with man, there's going to be some other aspects. So our exhort today is to follow the right things of God, to look up. Man provides some wonderful answers in medical science and just awesome things that help mankind, and we would never want to forget that. But we need to look upwards for answers to creation, world peace, morality, mental health issues, climate change, and, as we just said, artificial intelligence. Looking up brings God's healing, hope, and perspective on things. Or to put it in the words of Colossians, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And so, as we shortly will be breaking bread and drinking wine in remembrance of our Lord Jesus, it's a reminder that God's ways are so much higher than our ways. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And that's from Isaiah. And there's some lovely lessons that we can get from sunflowers. Ironically and sadly, as you probably know, the biggest producers in the world of sunflower oil are the Ukraine and their invaders. They're the two biggest sunflower producers in the world, and obviously of sunflower oil, and obviously we know that not much sunflower oil will be being produced at the moment. And in fact, the national symbol of Ukraine is the sunflower. So it's a beautiful symbol. But the spiritual lessons within a sunflower are just beautiful, because a sunflower, as you probably know, is comprised of lots of little, like, flowers within the flower head, and they're called florets, flowers within flowers. And so, in a way, we have another wonderful little floret to join a lovely sister and all those other young people who have inspired us over the last few years, getting baptized into the living name of Jesus in this place and in other places as well. So each one of the little florets are members of the Hyde Park Ecclesia, but also each one of those florets is an ecclesia itself within the head, which is the Christadelphian ecclesia worldwide. And can I just encourage you to stick close to our fellowship, and I'm sure you will. I've absolutely no doubt that you'll be a positive contributor and someone who speaks positively about our community. And I just, you know, we should be proud of our community and all that we've done and the things that we've achieved and what we stand for. We're not perfect because we're comprised of individuals, florets that maybe aren't perfect, but we come together and do our best to witness for Christ. Now, have a look at this when you get home, but I think you can see some pretty intricate geometric patterns on there. Just when you get home, I've mentioned it before, but just look up Fibonacci sequence. The Fibonacci sequence of numbers, it's found in pine cones. It's even in the way that our arteries and veins and a shape of a tree, tributaries of a river, it's all done under a very wonderful geometric pattern called the golden ratio. And we can guess where that comes from. It comes from its creator, which of course is God. So the stem of a sunflower is particularly strong, isn't it? But like us, it still needs water to support it, and it needs to be in the right environment. And we're just the same, aren't we? Sometimes we're supporting each other, and sometimes we're being supported. And sometimes I feel that we're better at supporting than we are in allowing ourselves to be supported. But if you do need support, that's one of the wonderful things about the media these days. There's an awful lot of things said about mental health and the fact that seek support if you need it. So, you know, sometimes we're giving support, sometimes we're receiving it. Make sure that you're able to humbly receive support and help in any shape or form if you do need it. And so we've seen in that film clip the fact that the sunflower heads follow the sun. But there's a wonderful psalm in Psalm 3 and verse 3 that sometimes we may feel like this, that we just don't have the ability or the strength to actually lift our own heads up. And what about this wonderful verse? For when times are hard, many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. So if you feel that you're not able to lift your head up at the moment, ask God for help and he will help you lift it up to see better things and better times. And so here you'll see in pink all the wonderful references and all the wonderful women that were associated with the life of Jesus. And they actually... Jesus, as you know, spent his whole life supporting others, but he was very well supported by females. And it's wonderful that we, in this ecclesia, have another female to support us and to be supported in this ecclesia. All those wonderful names there, which are so small on the screen, I can hardly read them actually, but you can see them up there. So this is the first of three slides on Mary Magdalene, who was healed of seven demons, major mental health challenges that she would have had in those days. And Jesus was able to touch her and remove all of that. And there she was again at the foot of the cross with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with John, his special friend in the Lord. So little wonder that when Jesus rose from the dead, of course, what a wonderful tribute to sisters and females with their practical help. She revealed herself to this woman who was formerly despised by men and women in the village, but who'd been thoroughly healed and thoroughly supported Jesus, and it thoroughly had the living Lord Jesus Christ revealed to her. What a blessing, what an amazing moment that would have been for her. And those that had an open mind, like the centurion, were able to see Jesus in his dying moments on the cross and realize truly that he was the Son of God. Anyone with their eyes open can see there's a creator. And anyone with their eyes open at the cross saw that this was a special man who was able to forgive those who were crucifying him and who asked John to look out for his mother and be that special person to support in her life. You'll also remember at the stoning of Stephen, I don't realize how small this is going to be, actually. Let me come around and see what it says. Yeah, so Stephen looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God. So you can imagine just Jesus just looking down. Stephen's down there looking up and Jesus is looking down. What an incredible... So, you know, next time you or I, next time we're in trouble. Actually, just try this at home. Two physical things. When you're praying and you just feel, I've felt this week, just you're so joyful and happy, that you just literally want to put your arms in the air. That's scriptural. Lift up holy hands to God. That's a physical thing we can do. And also, in earnest prayer, just look up. Now, you might think, doesn't sound very scientific. Au contraire. Have a look at that. Straight from the American Psychological, whatever that is that I can't read. Society, I suppose, isn't it? This is so tiny, it's unbelievable. Looking up for answers. Upward gaze increases receptivity to advice. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? I don't know, mate, try that next time you're praying, in earnest prayer. Look up to God. If it's in questioning, you think, why is this happening to me? Look up and see the clouds up in the heavens where God is. Or if you don't feel you've got enough joy in your heart or enough thankfulness to thank God for the blessings he's given you, just look up and raise your hands and just thank him. Just try it. It sounds a bit dramatic. And some of you think, what's he on about? But you try that in the week and then come back to me and see what you think, yeah? I'll just put it out there. Now, so, Montana, you picked a great subject, sunflowers. They are apps. The more you learn about sunflowers, the more you realise. I didn't realise this. I didn't realise that sunflowers have got the amazing capacity to remove toxins from the soil, from radioactive soil. You know, the half-life of radioactive substances, that's the time it takes to reduce its, you know, potency by half, can be hundreds of years. And little old sunflowers can take those toxins out of the soil and store them in the same way that a tree stores carbon dioxide and keeps it safe. So they planted sunflowers en masse at Fukushima, which maybe even the younger ones, some can remember that, Japanese nuclear reactor that caused a lot of damage, and a Chernobyl, which is once again in the news. Look at those beautiful sunflowers there, doing their work. Now, this is not a science lesson, so I thought, look, Graham, tell them what, and I'm sure you're already there, what is the spiritual significance of this? And of course, it's that God will take the toxins. God is able, through Jesus, to take the toxins, the sin, out of... And that's the living hope that Montana, Sister Montana, has been baptized into this morning. The living hope of the living Lord Jesus, who lives and is coming back to this earth. I will forgive their wickedness and I'll remember their sins no more. So, sorry, we've got to press on. Believe it or not, there's not that much more, actually. So, we might finish just shortly after 12. Now, I didn't realise in Luke 21 that there are two references to looking up. I hadn't connected them before. You're probably all over it. But this, I think I've shown this before, actually. She's such a delightful lady there, isn't she? Jesus was just sort of sitting by and just watching, and he was watching the big guys come in, you know, chucking their wads of notes in and just, you know, making sure everyone was watching. And then this dear lady with that beautiful, look at her lips there, beautiful, don't look at me. They were all saying, look at me. And she was like, don't look at me. I've only got 2 copper coins. It appeared they were doing more. Again, another great female example. She was giving in everything she had. Everything she had. And who saw it? Jesus. Because he sees everything we do. He sees all the kindnesses you've shown so far in your life, Montana. And he will show in that beautiful smile of yours that's going to help so many people going forward in your life, without a doubt. She gave everything she had. Jesus saw it. And so, we mentioned the one time in first part of Luke 21 where Jesus looked up I mean, Jesus, it must have been amazing to be with Jesus. He probably just, maybe just looking down, just appearing to be just minding his own business. And just, he looked up, and he not only saw what was happening, he saw the heart of this wonderful lady. And so again, in verse 25, when we see troubled times coming, which surely we're in at the moment, there's some wonderful, joyful things in the world and some beautiful people doing great things. But if we want to put our hope in man, then, well, good luck with that one, as we say. And so the exhortation here in Luke 21 here is, and this is where the exhortation comes from, of course, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws nigh. It may seem that everything is dark, and everything was dark at 3 p.m. on the afternoon when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. But the grave couldn't hold him because he did no sin. The Son of God, and it sounds a bit far-fetched, doesn't it? Well, it's Son, S-O-N, and Son, S-U-N. Well, Jesus was the light of the world, and Jesus was the Son of the world, the person who brought light and warmth and healing. So he was both sons. He was the Son, S-O-N, of God, and he was the sunlight of the world, the only hope for the world. And so no wonder, as Mary Magdalene witnessed, and 500 witnesses. I mean, in court, you only need maybe one, maybe two witnesses to give someone a lengthy prison sentence. There were over 500 first-hand witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. The biggest witness, of course, in the New Testament is the fact that these frightened people, people like Peter who denied Jesus, and the other disciples who did their best to just hide and try not to be associated with the events surrounding the arrest of Jesus, they suddenly were prepared to give their own lives for Jesus and for the gospel hope. What happened? They were witnesses that they saw Jesus being crucified, and they saw the living Lord Jesus come back. They saw the sunlight come back into the world. The Son of God with all his brightness and positivity, to whom we should be lifting our heads. Jesus was risen from the dead, and he lives now. Just one more slide after this. So Jesus return. They're all looking up to heaven, thinking, he's gone. He's ascended to heaven. What now? Acts 1, verse 9. After this, after he said this, he spoke to them. He was taken up before their very eyes, and the cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky. This time, unlike Luke 21, where he said, lift up and, you know, straighten up, look up, your redemption draws nigh, or was telling them to look up. And I've exhorted we should be looking up, obviously, physically as well. This time he's saying, don't concentrate on the fact Jesus got up there. They were looking intently up into the skies he was going. Two men dressed in white robes beside him said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you've seen him go into heaven. And that's the hope of us as Christadelphians, that Jesus is going to return to the earth and set up God's kingdom on the earth. So, a final slide, Sister Montana. Now, I'm a twin, as I've said. There's not much in Scripture you can do with Lynn and Graham, is there? But you probably thought about this before. In fact, your mum and dad maybe sort of designed it this way. But I don't know if you thought. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mountana of Olivia, east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley, with half of the mountain moving north and half moving south. The Lord will be king over the whole earth. On that day there'll be one Lord, and his name the only name. And so, Montana, as you know, Spanish for mountain, and Olivia, olive tree, a symbol of peace. It's beautiful that we've, all of us here, had the honour and privilege of witnessing the baptism of another young lady who's come into the faith. And we pray that God will bless you as you help others to stand, and that you'll allow God to support your head in life's troubles. And we just want to thank you for all together being able to share this wonderful, special day, this inspirational day, where we can see in you the power of the living Lord Jesus Christ in someone's lives. So may God continue to bless you and your beautiful twin, Olivia, and all those others who are thinking about baptism. Talk to people, and maybe, as James was intimating earlier, just maybe get another few steps along the journey and see where you are, and just get help from these young people, because they've got a wonderful faith, and you're a wonderful example to us in Hyde Park, you young people, and we thank you for it, and we hope that you can learn from us whatever there is to learn, and also we can learn from you as vibrant young individuals who've put their faith in Jesus.